Perek Dalad Mishnah Yudches. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says the following. In this Mishnah, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is going to teach us that a person has to know when to do things. In other words, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Yevamos, Daf Samech Amud Beis, Kishem Shemitzvah al Adam Loimer Dover Hanishma. Kach mitzvah al adam shaloi loimer dover she'ena nishma. Just like it's a mitzvah to say something when it's important to say it, and where the person who you're saying it to will listen to what you're saying, so too, if you know ahead of time that the person is not going to listen to what you're saying, then you shouldn't say it. You have to know when to say it. So our Mishnah is going to discuss certain situations where people are emotionally involved, and if you're going to do something at that point, it's going to be negative. It's not going to be positive, even though you have the best intentions. Rabbi Wine, in his Sefer on Ovis, says that he's been at many Shiva visits where people are trying to be Menachem Ovel, but instead of making it better, they make it worse. They like rub salt on the wound, whatever. You have to be careful. Maybe that's part of the reason it says, like, the first 3 days, if the oval doesn't talk, you're not supposed to. He has to be the first one to talk. And if he doesn't talk, you're not supposed to start even. You have to know if what you're saying will help the person, then say it. If it's going to just do the opposite, then don't say it. So we're going to see a few different things in our Mishnah which are similar to this. The first one, Al teratza es chaverach b'shas kasoy. Don't try to calm down your friend when he's angry. When the person's angry, he's emotionally involved, and you're going to try, oh, you know, it's not so bad. And he'll say, what do you mean it's not so bad? It's terrible. He'll get even more upset than he was before. When, in a few hours, when he calmed down by himself, then you could say, you know, maybe you should look at it in a different way, and maybe you should be down like kafschus. You could say things to try to calm him down. But when he's in the height of anger, that's not the right time. If you do it, then it's going to have an opposite effect. That's one. The second one, Va'al t'nachamenu, don't try to comfort the onen. This is speaking about an onen. In other words, someone just lost his relative. We know that until the kvura takes place, the surviving relative is called an onen. After the kfura takes place, then the surviving relative is called an ovel. So the Mishnah is saying here, b'shoa shemesoy muta lefonov, when the mace is right in front of him, either physically the mace is right there, let's say you're in the funeral chapel and the mace is right there, or even it could mean also Meisei Mutta Lufanov means if the obligation to arrange for the Levaya is on that person, that's also like the mace is in front of him. It means he has on his mind the person who died. That's on his mind. He's an onen. It's before the kfura, and he has to take care of the arrangements of the kfura. So that is not the time to comfort him. He's not going to accept it. He's too emotionally involved, he or she, the surviving relative, they're too emotionally involved to accept any nechama. They're not thinking clearly. They're emotional. Rabbi Yashar Ben Soloveitchik Zitzal once explained that the difference between an ovel and an oinein is that an oinein is full of emotion. He has no seichel. He doesn't understand what's happening. He can't believe that his father, his mother, his brother, his sister, his close relative is no longer. It doesn't make sense. This person who was a part of his life for the last 50 years, that person suddenly not here, the surviving relative cannot understand it. and therefore the person is living just with emotion alone. If the person is just living with emotion without seichel, that's why we paskin that he's not even allowed to do mitzvahs. An onen is not only putter from doing mitzvahs, which means not he's allowed to, the surviving relative is not allowed to eat chazer. They're not allowed to do lavin, losase, negative mitzvahs. But the positive mitzvahs like benching, davening, putting on tefillin, all positive mitzvahs, the onen is putter, but not only putter, he's usher to do the mitzvahs. That's how we pause. He's not even allowed to do the mitzvahs. Why can't he do the mitzvah? So Rabbi Soloveitchik explained, because till the kfura, the person doesn't understand. He or she are just emotional. And if they're just emotional, Hashem doesn't want a person like that to serve Hashem. After the kfura, the person begins to comprehend that his relative is no longer living. Now his seichel comes back. Now you're chayiv to do the mitzvahs. You're obligated to do the mitzvahs. But before your seichel came back, when you're just emotional, you're usher to do the mitzvahs. So the same way, the Mishnah is saying here, nechama is nichum aveilim, not nichum onanim. That's the onanim is meisoy mutal lefonav. The mace is still not buried. The onen, the surviving relatives and onen, al tenachamenu. That he won't accept it. Whatever you're saying, he will not. He or she, a surviving relative, will not accept it. Number three, va'al tishaloi b'shas nidrei, and don't ask the person questions while he's making a neder. In other words, when a person has a certain desire to make a neder. I promise I'm getting too fat, too heavy. I promise I'm not eating cake anymore. That's it. And so now if at that moment you'll ask them, well, what happens if in a month you're going to go buy a bakery and you haven't eaten the eclair for already a month and you're going to smell this eclair and you're going to want to eat it. Are you sure that? And so now, in a month, the person will go to a rav, and they'll say, you know, I made a mistake. I didn't realize how hard this is. So there's a Pesach. There's an opening for the rav to say the neder is batal. But if you right when I made the neder, I was so upset with myself how much weight I gained that I said I don't care. I'm going on a diet. And then the person will say to you, well, what happens if in a month you're going to have that desire and you have a neder? And you'll say at that time, I don't care, in a month, in a year, I'm making a neder. That's the only way I'm going to lose weight. So then later, the rav can't nullify the neder based on that opening because you closed the opening. At the time when you made the neder, you said, I don't care. And then later, the rav can't open it. But therefore, that's why the Mishnah says this is all part of the same thing. Don't say something at the wrong time. The right time to find the opening is in a month. But right now, when the person's emotionally involved in making the neder, that's not the right time to start asking questions. Will you do it in a month if you're still you have such a desire? Because the person will say, yes, I want the neder in a month. I don't care. A year, I don't care. And then you block the way for the rav to nullify the neder. And the final one is va'al tishtadel l'roisoy b'shas kal kolosoy. A person is a human being, and unfortunately the Yetzirah gets a hold of a person, and the person will do something wrong. When a person does something wrong, they don't want to be seen by other people. That's a very low point. Tomorrow, maybe the same day, they'll do tshuva. But if you see that somebody did something wrong, try to stay out of the way. If you're going to come to them right at that point when they feel very low about themselves, that's not a good time to do it. And who do we find this by? We find this by our Kaddish Baruch Hu, and we find it by Adam Rishon, because it says that after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, when Adam and Chava realized that they were naked and they needed clothing, the Rabbeinu Shem did not appear to them until they made for themselves clothing. Vayasu lahem chagurois, then it says, Vayishmu es koil Hashem elikim. Why didn't Hashem come right away? Because right at that moment, when they felt very low that they had done the chet of the Eitz Hadas. So Hashem waited till they had some self-respect, and then he approached them. So we learn out this from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, that al tishtadel l'roisoi b'shas kalkolosoi. When a person has a duchfal, a person fell through, and unfortunately Yetzer got a hold of him, he did an aveira, stay out of the way. Later, when he gets back to himself, then you can deal with him. But don't try to get in his way when he fell down. Mishnah Yutes is authored by someone whose name was Shmuel HaKotan, the small Shmuel. Now, first of all, why did he have this name, the small Shmuel? There's two reasons that are given. Number one, because he was a tremendous anav, a tremendous Yorei Shemayim. We're going to see a story about it in a moment. And second of all, he was so great that he was only small compared to Shmuel HaGadol. Who was the big Shmuel? That was Shmuel HaNavi. But he was like almost, he was smaller than Shmuel HaNavi. He wasn't a Navi. But he's you could compare him. A regular person, you couldn't even compare to the Navi Shmuel. But this Shmuel HaKotan wasn't that stature that he could be compared. He's the smaller Shmuel. So the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Aleph, that one time the Chachamim were sitting in a upstairs attic in Yavne, and they got a bas kol min haShemayim. A voice came out of heaven. Yesh kan echad sheroi shetishra lov shchina. There is one person sitting amongst you that the shchina would be proper to go on him. Ela she'ein hador zakoy lekach. But the only problem is the generation is not worthy to have him get. He himself is worthy, but the generation is not worthy. Okay, and who the Gemara says, Nosnu chachamim eseinayim b'shmul hakotan. So the people looked, who could it be? They looked around the room, they saw Shmuel HaKotan. That's the one who the Shechina could go on. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, who was his Rebbe, asked Shmuel that he should make the bracha of the Haminim. What is the bracha of the Aminim? V'la malshinim alti sikva. We know that Shmoyne Esrei has 18 brachas. That's what it's called, Shmoyne Esrei, 18 brachas. But really, if you count them up, there are 19. Because the 19th bracha is the bracha v'la malshinim, or the way the Gemara calls it, the birchas Aminim, against, because there were in Klal Yisrael people who went against the Torah, the non-believers of the Torah, and it was so bad, there were so many apikursim, non-believers of the Torah, that they decided to make a bracha against them. And anyone who would get up to the Amud and not make this bracha, he couldn't continue to daven. In fact, the Gemara says an interesting story that Shmuel HaKotan, who made it, he got up to daven and he himself forgot what he made. He couldn't remember. So the Gemara says they waited and till he finally finished it. The Gemara said, why did they wait? They should have sent them away. If you don't do La Mashinim, it's a proof there's something wrong with you. So the Gemara says that the one himself who made the bracha, we're not worried that he became Chashom and Apikiris. So he was the one. Rabbi Gamliel felt you have to have the right person to make up such a bracha because you're saying it against the other Jews that they should get punished. Yeah, you can't have any plain person. You need a big tzaddik. He asked Shmuel HaNavi and he made the bracha of La Malshinim. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, who was the Nasi, gave Shmuel HaKotan a lot of kavod. There's a story, which we'll see from the next story. We'll see how much kavod Rabbi Gamliel gave, and we'll also see from the story the greatness of Shmuel HaKotan. The din is that the Beis Din, we have today a calendar, but in the days when the Beis Din would make every month and every year, they would decide, is it going to be a leap year? Is it going to be a leap month? Will it be 29 days, the old month? Will it be 30 days? Will the month have only Adar? Will it have Adar Aleph, Adar Sheni? That was done with a Beis Din. But the din is, in order to decide whether we should make a leap month, a whole extra month, why do you have to make an extra month? Because we go with the moon, and the holiday, the Yom Tovim, go with the sun. So every few years, we fall behind. And Pesach has to be Chag HaAviv. It has to be in the spring. Now, if you keep going with the moon, which only has 354 days, and the sun has 365 days for a year, you're losing 11 days every year. After three years, you lost 33 days. You're behind. You're behind a month. So they have to decide. Seven times in 19 years, they make Adar Sheni. So in order to make this leap year, the extra month, you needed seven great rabbis to do it. So one time, Ma'aser Gamliel, Sha'amar, Hishkimuli, Shival Aliyah, called together seven rabbis to go up in the upper floor, and we're going to sit and decide whether we should make an extra year or not, an extra month in the year, Ibershan or not. Okay? And the din is that if you were not invited, you're not allowed to be part of the group. You have to be invited. You can't just go up to and say, okay, I'm joining you. When Rabbi Gamliel came in the morning to see, he found eight people. He said, Mishu Ola Shaloiber Shus Yereg. Whoever came here without being invited, please go down. Omad Shmuel HaKotan. Shmuel HaKotan got up, Va'omer, and he said, Anihu. Shalisi Shaloi Bershus. I came up without permission. Veloila Abrashan Alisi. I didn't come up to be part of the seven. I know I'm not invited. Ela Lulmoid Halacha Lamaisut Strachti. I wanted to learn how it's done. So I didn't come up to be Ma'abra Shan. Amrloi Ram Gamliel. Ram Gamliel says, Shev Beni Shev. Please, my son, sit. Re'uyois Kola Shanim Kulon Lis Abra Al Yotcha. That really all the years you should be the one to be part of the group. Ram Gamliel thought that he wasn't invited. As we're soon going to see, he was invited. Why did he say it? We'll see in a second. There's a rule that you cannot make a leap year unless you're invited to come. So he didn't kick him out. He said to Shmuel HaKotan, You don't have to learn anything. You know everything. Don't be so humble. You know everything. You could stay, but you can't be part of the group because you weren't invited. Says the Gemara, V'loy Shmuel HaKotan ha-yezeh she'ola shaloi b'shus, ela ish acher. It was another man, another one of the eight was the one who wasn't called up. V'loy Shehalo lo yis bayesh. Omar Shmuel HaKotan kein al atzmoi. Shmuel HaKotan didn't want that this person should be embarrassed. So Shmuel HaKotan got up and he said, I'll be the one. And then Rabbi Gamliel said, no, sit down. So we see how great Shmuel HaKotan was, sensitive that somebody else shouldn't get embarrassed. Okay. This is about Shmuel HaKotan. So what did he say? And it's interesting. You know what he said? He said a pasuk in Mishlei. And the question is, we're not learning Mishlei here. This is all he said. And all the Mephorshim want to know, what is Shmuel just repeating? He doesn't add one word. Shmuel HaKotan Oimer, here's a pasuk, bin foil ayifcha al tismach, when your enemy falls down, don't rejoice. Ubekishloi, when he stumbles, al yoga libecha, your heart should not rejoice. Why? Hashem doesn't like that. Pen yir Hashem. Hashem might see what you're doing. And verab einov. And Hashem is not going to like it that you're gloating that your enemy got his klep. The Heshiv may Allah apoy, and his anger will go away from that person. And who will the anger go on? It'll go on you. That is the pasuk that Shloim HaMelech says in Mishlei. Shmuel HaKotan Oimer, that pasuk. We never had this in any other Mishnah, that the Tana should just repeat a pasuk. So one pshat is, Shmuel HaKotan, we have to add like a word, Hoya Oimer. It means he constantly used to say that to people. Don't gloat if your enemy had got a knockdown. And he lived it. He didn't just say it. Shmuel HaKotan Oimer, that's whenever you came to Shmuel HaKotan, he would say this pasuk. Remember, bin foila yifchal tismach ubikishle al yoga libecha pen yira Hashem v'rabe eino v'heshiv me'olav apoy. Now some are goyres at the end of the Mishnah. They say Shmuel HaKotan said it doesn't say charon apoy, it says apoy. And this will answer the question, what did Shmuel add to the pasuk that Shlomo HaMelech said? So the first pshat we learned, it was he's not adding, he just lived that. That was his dictum. That's what he used to walk around, tell people, and he lived that way. That was the first pshat. The second pshat is no. Shmuel HaKotan saw an important lesson here. Shlomo HaMelech didn't say, Veheshiv me'olav charon apoy. It says apoy. What does this mean? That charon apoy means anger. Charon apoy is fierce anger. So if Shlomo HaMelech would have said, Veheshiv me'olav charon apoy, then it would mean he's still going to be angry at Reuven, but you were gloating that Reuven got hit by Hashem, so now he'll be angry on you also. But it says, Veheshiv me'olav apoy, that he's not just going to refrain from being very angry at Reuven, he's going to refrain from being angry at all at Reuven. If the pasuk would have said charon apoy, then we would say, you know what Hashem is going to do? He won't be very angry, he'll be a little angry at Reuven, and he'll transfer, he'll also be angry at Shimon, because Shimon was gloating. But now that it says Veheshiv me'olav apoy, it means that on Reuven he won't be angry at all, and he's going to be just angry at you. That's what the Tosfos Yontov learns over here, that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be mochel all the averus of Reuven, because Shimon made fun of him. Shimon was happy that Reuven is getting punished. So Hashem says, you know what? I'm Michael Reuven completely. I'm transferring it all over to Shimon. That's what Shmuel was adding. According, this is the Sefer here, Rashbatz says this pshat also. So either he didn't add anything, he just lived that and he told people all the time to practice this, or he was adding the point that you know what's going to happen to Reuven. Reuven will be totally forgiven by Hashem. Unfortunately, you, Shimon, will not. So a person should make sure that if he shouldn't have enemies. But if somebody did something wrong to him, the tendency is if something bad happens to that person, we feel good about it. And Shmuel HaKotan says that's not the way of Hashem.